installment of the SUS News Podcast series, where we interview newsmakers and discuss the news and applications relevant to the global unmanned technologies community. I'm your program host, Patrick Egan, and as we always do at this time, we say hello and welcome to our co-host, Mr. Gene Robinson.
Hello, Patrick, and I think this is going to be one of those shows where we're just not going to have enough time, and there is so much to talk about this week.
What? What? Is there anything ever to speak of on this subject? I'm at a loss for words right now. We're 30 seconds in now. Yeah, there's a ton of stuff going on, Gene, but, you know, we'll get through some of that, dissect some of that, and then talk about the subject matter, which is going to be interesting and near and dear to what you're doing, and then also interested to me. Like you said, that the 45 minutes, it just does not enough. But it has to be because we have to cut it somewhere. Yeah, we've had some interesting podcasts already this year. They've been actually pretty good, and I'm looking. That's kind of reinvigorated the whole series for me. It's not just that Egan guy, you know, modeling, you know, and complaining and grinding on that poor FAA, because we know they're doing a great job, and we're going to talk a little bit about that today. Right, Gene?
Yeah, you think?
Well, before we go there, let's talk about some other things. What else is going on? I know you've been out at the farm and working out there.
Oh, you
there.
Know, yeah. Yeah, of course. You know, that's kind of the mainstay for me. But I've had a little bit more fun this week. Actually got some of the folks that we trained and took them out there, and they get to see what's going on. They get to fly their aircraft. And, you know, one of the things that I'm always pleased about is that, you know, when I advise people to do something and they take my advice and they purchase the equipment that we need, then I can invite them back out and we can, you know, fly their stuff and do some really cool research with it. So, you know, I say that tongue-in-cheek, but, you know, they're actually using the stuff, you know, for investigations and that sort of thing, but I get to give them a little practice out there. So, yeah, just posted a video up on my channel about the Bexar County SO, the Sheriff's Office. I'm bad with acronyms, but got that out there, and you know, just kind of start cranking on some training stuff, and you know, try to keep getting the word out. You know,
well, you know, that's. That's excellent news. Got to keep that going. Got to keep the learning happening. You know, I always talk about that, how it's in the field is where it's all happening. I've been working and spending a lot of time in the backwoods with the new truck. And
right.
And I'm happy with that thing. I haven't made the first payment yet, so it's all honeymoon phase now. Until that comes rolling in, but hey, you know, it's great. I'm loving it. Way far back there in the woods, and it's a good time. I got to get my money's worth out of this California. You know, I like to say that all of what's really worth anything in California was gifts given to us by God. The weather, the geography, it's great. The rest of it, hard to deal with. But anyway. Besides all of that, we did get, you know, the 21st did come and go, and then, and, you know, I see all of these news stories on all of the major outlets. Oh, you know, it's on. Drones are now. It's like you can. It's going to facilitate delivery and be on visual line of sight. And you're going to be flying over people, and you know, my main thing with it is you got, you know, like tens of thousands of content creators on YouTube now that could come back into the lawful fold with drones. Because, you know, you never see anybody flying over people. And I know all of these, like, streaming service productions, you know, they're blocking off all the streets in the L.A. and San Francisco and everywhere else, so they're not flying over people illegally, you know, and all the rest of that stuff and whatnot. So now they get to come back into the you know, into the law-abiding fold. What do you think?
Yeah, you know, I thought that was pretty interesting too. And one of the things that popped into my head is that didn't we tell them we could do this about 5 years ago?
Yeah, it was much harder than the flying at night thing. You know, I mean, when we were flying at night, it's safer. You know, the lights are bright, man. You know, you can see them pretty well. You know, with the lights and whatnot, and fly at night, which is also, you know, remember, I don't know, I guess it was probably a year or two ago, they were crowing about all of the waivers they were giving out. Oh, all these waivers are coming in, and we have like a 90%, you know. I even forget what the bullcrap numbers were, but they were crowing about, you know, how successful that the program was because they were issuing all of these waivers, and they were the nighttime waivers. That should have never even been in the rule, which I told Jim Williams. You know, I think back on this stuff, Gene, and it's just like, you know, you remember the after the small UAS arc, we had the UAS arc and the R Kappa. We tried to get on that. They snuck that one by, announced it had been in the works for 6 months or a year, kept it under wraps. And then they launched the UAS ARC and lied to us. Peggy Gilligan and Jim Williams repeatedly lied that there wouldn't be any talk of small UAS or the commercial or any of that stuff. And then so they let the DoD vendors figure that all out. So, you know, when you got some of the stuff that we're saying we're going for now and going, oh, golly, we could do all of this stuff. With this new rule, basically all of the what wasn't in there, what was in the new rule, was kind of kiboshed by the DoD vendors on your secret public-private rulemaking process. So it's really not a lot for me to celebrate. I don't really even this flying over people thing. I'm assuming it's going to be the aircraft under 250 grams you can fly over people, or is it even less, or should you just go by a selfie stick? Did you read the tripe?
Oh, yeah. I read it. I mean, you know, if you're a Part 107 pilot and you work within the guidelines therein, you should be able to fly no problem. And, you know, I had a night waiver as well, and it expired in February, and I was just about to hit up our friend Johnny Ruprecht over there to see if he'd write me another one, and then I got kind of word that it was going to come out, and sure enough, you know, it's there, and you know, right, wrong, or indifferent, they move at the speed of government, unfortunately. And
it's like a narcoleptic snail or something.
Well, pretty much, yeah.
Well, and I guess, me and Gary Mortimer did a hangout with Mr. Ruprecht and the other gentleman, the FPV company that's funding the latest, let's say, contesting the RID thing. And I guess that really, you know, pissed some people off because, you know, there's some disassociation going on and how did you give that guy airtime? Why did you even, you know, I don't know if anybody realizes that. That's kind of what lawyers do, right? You know, they take on clients and clients feel like they have a grievance and then, you know, they sue, you know, yada, yada. It's just like some kind of, what is this? Are we living in, the USSR, you know, or something, man? I just don't even get it. So, and then, you know, the other thing, I hate to break it to people, but the news thing is, you know, part of, a free society where, like, you see something or something comes up and you report on it, so people kind of have an understanding that, hey, you know, we're not all singing kumbaya on the crapola. But I don't know. You know, that's been a thing kind of being in the news business since the RCAPR reporter, is anytime you shine a little light on, the sausage factory, people go nuts.
And, you know, Patrick, as a pilot, I'm really having a hard time trying to figure out how I'm supposed to address air traffic control now.
I could give you some suggestions. They may not be good ones, but no, go ahead.
But, you know, I usually say, sir, when I talk to them, but what do I say now? It? Because, you know, what we're doing with the gender-neutral stuff these days, they have the time to do that, right?
Oh, and the resources, you know. They got these people so snowed, you know. I am so tired of the experts on LinkedIn. I know our guest is probably over there cringing. He's probably like, oh, holy mackerel, what did I get myself into? Don't worry, buddy, Antonio. You are not the first guy to think that coming on the program. But, I'm all for progress. And, we got to winnow out the Neanderthals and all the rest of that stuff. And, I've spent most of my time in a cave. But the thing is with me, we're rolling forward. I mean, I got the same notice on Grammarly. Ooh, unmanned can be gender biased. Hey, I got a plan. Let's upset the apple cart. And I don't really care if you want to do all of that. But my thing is okay, so if you say you have, 100% resources and you're dedicating 50% to the progress, and that takes 50% away from things that we really need, like really flying over people and really flying beyond visual line of sight, not the extended visual line of sight with, observers or doing the good old boy thing and helping companies out like Precision Hawk or whatever, their thing willy-nilly because they have, lobbyists and that's another one, man. I got to work on that. I'm so busy, but I'm going to blow the lid off of the whole. We're going to see that most 90% of the people that are experts, including the people over at the FAA, UASIO, are totally clueless. And it's coming. It's one of those deals. As soon as I get some time and a little bread to put that together, that one's going to make the Precision Hawk, year-long waiver thing look like Candyland. So hopefully we'll get that together. The other one that cheeses me off is I'm starting to think that people really like all of this ill treatment. Because even the people that are getting all this money with the VC money think, oh, yeah, beyond visual insight, that's coming out with the, and we're going to be doing that in like a year. It's going to be great. I'm like, you really believe that after all this time? That beyond visual line of sight thing is like a year away and the UTM and all the rest of that stuff. I mean, I know you don't believe that crap. I fell for that prom date stuff, in the early 2000s, several times. That sounds great. Yeah, and then I got tired of looking like a chump. But I think some people like to look like chumps. And even now, we were talking before the show with our guest, and I go, I've been kind of busy and I'm not really paying attention to the news. And you read all of this, it sounds very exciting. Like lots of progress is being made. And we're going to be doing all of this stuff, this by summertime, And then you sit back and analyze it for about 10 seconds and you go, are these people nuts? But anyway, we'll see how it rolls out. But that's kind of what I see. I mean, what do you're reading through the same news that I am. What are you thinking of this, these new developments?
Well, the thing is, it's happening so fast and furious these days that it's kind of hard to keep up with. I don't think the RID thing is going to be, we're not going to be able to implement that as quickly as they would like to. Quite honestly, I don't think they can. Even for ADS-B, they gave us, 4 years or something like that to get ADS-B, and there's still a lot of folks that aren't using, me included, I don't have an ADS-B in my plane. And I think it's going to be pretty similar to RAD. I think we saw a huge contingent of non-compliant pilots for a long time. You see the numbers going down on 107 renewals and that sort of thing. I just don't think there's going to be a lot of folks out there that are going to be toeing the line like we used to. You know what I mean?
I would concur with that. And, it's proven out by watching the YouTube or Netflix or Disney or whatever streaming, so Hulu, whatever you want to watch. People are, get out of here. And then, the other deal is, they don't have the resources to make the FOIA request. I just got one back 3 years. 3 years ago, something simple. That's basically asking for a personnel roster for the integration office. Oh, still working on that one. Whew. I already have a copy. I guess I could send it to him and, cut out the middleman, but whatever the case. And then also the enforcement thing. I mean, I've said this since the ARC, it's like you can have all the rules you want if you don't have an enforcement plan. They don't even have the money to leave the FISDO besides a telephone call. You know, that is it. So even these people with the enforcement, they think they're watching the YouTube videos. Somebody, your competition or a hater has to drop the dime on you. Then the FISDO's got to contact the home office and make sure it's okay that they go after whoever it is. And then, you know, Merkel or somebody else at the UASIO has got to give them the green light before they can even go ahead and do anything. I mean, I had two investigations where you had, you know, legal, the head legal people at the FAA say this was in a, you know, illegal operation and, you know, hey, let's fire up an investigation and look at the logbooks. And, you know, UASIO management, I guess Jay Merkel shut it down twice, you know, so, and they didn't have any, you know, I can't even, the phone call, you know, I got 10 minutes on the phone call. The wrong person gave me the wrong info. It's just a circus. So all of these rules and the safety of the NAS and all the rest of that stuff, I find the whole concept highly dubious, but we're going to have to let that go. I know you wanted to, you wanted to drill down on that, Gene, some more, but we should bring on our guest. And since you know our guest, I'm going to let you introduce today's guest.
Okay, yeah, Antonio with Box Fury Lighting. I met Antonio back in that little Irish town of Dublin, Texas, and actually, it was a pretty good gig. It was we went to the Public Safety Museum there, and we met with the sheriff's office there, and Antonio and our friend Mark Langley and Locate donated some equipment to him. And anyway, we put on a pretty good little drill there, I think. And so, without further ado, Antonio, why don't you introduce yourself, and let's find out about what you're doing.
Yeah, you got it. Well, thanks, Gene. And that was a lot of fun. I did very much enjoy meeting you. I mean, it was back in January, and this year feels like a short and long one at the same time. So my name is Antonio Cugini. I do business development for Fox Free Lighting Solutions. I've been with the company since we started in 2003. I've also been with the company ever since it got into drones in 2016 and 17. So I'm not a pilot or anything like that. I assist the industry. I work with departments helping pave the way for night stuff, and I work with several of the manufacturers as well.
Interesting. So I'm surprised you're still on the call after that rant I just went on. And click.
That was a good rant, though, Pat.
Okay, good. We didn't scare you off. Sometimes people are like, oh, my holy mackerel. All right, well, so, yeah, we got you out here. Now, the Fox Fury, I want to talk about Fox Fury because it's not just drones. I know that you guys have a target customer base and whatnot. Why don't you kind of tell us about Fox Fury, what the ethos of the company, who your core customers are, whatever else. Because it's been around for a long time, and then you guys kind of got into the drones. But, you know, for the benefit of the audience, why don't you give us kind of a, hey, this is what we're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, Patrick, because you went into that California comments, I gotta start with where we started, because I think a lot of people don't realize it. And sometimes it's the relationships that kind of propel a company into going places that it didn't imagine. So in 2003, the idea came up to create a headlamp, like a light that goes on the head, not anything attached to a vehicle, that would allow someone to surf like the Pacific Ocean, for example, at night. And that's where it all started. I mean, we had no intentions of ever getting into drones or public safety or anything like that. And the thought was, you know, it gets busy during the day. What if we could? And we have a team of engineers that like that kind of challenge, and stuff had to be water resistant, and it had to be really durable. It had to see through silt and sediment if someone went underwater. And we just never managed to get that product line off the ground. It was just a lot of engineering that went into it, but we displayed it at certain shows, and we met people in public safety, because the one thing I've learned so much about public safety is there's so many first responders out there that have a second job or a real like hardcore passion and hobby. One of them was an adventure racer, and they were also a firefighter, and they said, can you make the light, you know, fire resistant? And we said, I think so, because we were making them really durable. And then we, you know, did some fire shows, and someone said, wow, you know, can I use this thing for forensics? Like, could you put a UV, you know, light in that thing? And, you know, back in 03, you know, we were all LED'd. Nobody cared about LEDs back then. They were expensive. Mm-hmm. They were, you know, they were kind of cute, but, you know, who cares? And literally the company just grew in that fashion. Somebody would present with an opportunity or a gap that they foresaw in the industry and just said, can you help? And so we've basically in that 18-year span kind of become a expectation, if you will, of being an A to Z kind of public safety solutions company where we do everything from UV to IR lighting, sky to ground, even underwater, and a lot of specialty work, including drones.
Yeah, you know, this is, we also, we're like technology fans here, so I want to unpack that a little bit, because you did, you know, you talked about the LEDs, and I remember, you know, in the early 2000s when the LEDs, I mean, the LEDs were around, but they weren't very bright, and it was, you know, kind of a hassle and all the rest of that, so I
yep.
remember the LEDs, because I was using them in projects, too. I'm like, oh, God, this is great, you know, the energy consumption's low, they're really bright, like you said, there's IR, there are different colors, they're programmable, you know, the sky's kind of the limit on this deal. This is just keeps giving, you know. So, you know, and I've done, I've got the old Petzl helmet, you know, for some splunking with the old funky battery light. I'm sure you've seen those before. I forget even how many light that is. It's just some funky. I don't even know if you can get those batteries anymore. But, you know, and you'd be somewhere where it was dark and you're, God, this light sucks, you know. Very frustrating. So I did see the headlight, you know, the headlamps or a headlight, which are very handy in dark position or dark places. But so that progressed, and you've got into different products. I mean, are these products stuff that people ask for? Like you said, you have customers that are usually are passionate about something or doing a job, or are you guys, hey, we want this kind of light, or you're like, hey, you know what? We're on, we're out here with people in the field testing this stuff, and I think we could come up with something like X. Like, you know, the scene light's a good example. To, you know, is that something you came up with? Is it something that somebody asked you to develop? What happened there?
Yeah, so Gene met my dad back in January, and you know, my dad is. My dad is the creator for a lot of this stuff, and you know, there's that fine line between genius and insanity, and he kind of rides it sometimes. He has this gift for being able to see the state of things and then coming up with a solution that fixes the current gap, but it fixes the gap that's to come. So he created that thing mostly from a fire perspective, because so much of the lighting, especially back then, was either tethered to the fire truck, or it was, you know, really big, you know, stuff that required generators. And he was just looking at that, saying, "There's a way to make this, you know, all self-contained and faster." And you know, the initial one, you know, we've been doing this now for about 11 years, so. I want to say, Gene, you'll love this, that similar lights that you have. I mean, honestly, I think we stopped counting at like 72 revisions on the bazooka style one. It's just all that feedback of, you know, we sit in a chair, you know, Patrick, let me just be blunt. You know, Gene's in the field. We're not. We talk to people in the field, but, you know, the craziest thing happens. It's like the person in another country has different objectives and different policies, and they run calls different. And so we just hear all this feedback, and it's a, wow, that's a great point. We never thought about, you know, that. And you know, public safety, people are really hard on equipment. lots of changes.
And I will vouch for that, but Antonio kind of quickly glossed over the fact that he did donate two lights to RP Search Services. And I got to use them Tuesday night. And let me tell you what, those guys are bright Alpha Foxtrot. Okay? I set up, we were doing extrication training, night extrication training, and I was supposed to be flying the drone to video all of this stuff. And I had to be set away from where all the bright lights were on the truck So I set up that light in my LZ, in my landing zone, and I set the handheld up so that it was pointed up to the sky. And I could take off and I could watch my drone go up, you know, 40 feet and still have good visual on it before I moved over to the accident scene. So, I mean, that was perfect for me to be able to get that light up above my head, shine it down on my landing pad so I didn't have it in my eyes. And it worked out great all the way around, just as an LZ light. So that was a good one for me.
Well, I think you got a T-shirt idea there, Antonio.
Yes.
As bright as Alpha Foxtrot. Right there. Gene Robinson. Yeah, well, you know, as somebody who's worked out of a truck for many years, you know, stuff gets, you know, it's not a kid gloves thing. You know, we got to set up, time is of the essence, you know, you know, there's one thing I can't stand, it's cheap garbage, you know, and I'm not even doing anything where anybody's life is on the line, you know, but I've been known to get frustrated and throw stuff that doesn't work properly. I don't know if that's happened to you guys, but
I will have to tell you that I walked in with that light slung over my shoulder, and there was a couple of guys, older guys like me, that, you know, as soon as I walked in the door, they say, "Where'd you get the Laws rocket?"
I can't tell you, you know. I mean, that's great. And so, you know, you're out in the field with this stuff, and it's going. And what I do want to, you know, of course, we're kind of like a drone-centric show, even though we're into technology and all the rest of that stuff. So now, you know, I like it, and as I said before we got on here, you know, I've heard about you guys, I've heard about you. Oh, Antonio's a good guy. We never really cross paths, you know, or whatever. And I've known about you guys and heard about you guys. I'm like, one day we're going to catch up with these guys and we're going to figure this out. So here we are today. And before today, you know, I thought it was all drones. But we talked about the other products. We talked about, I guess, your dad's the engineering powerhouse behind this deal. He's probably an interesting guy. If he's making products and developing products like this, he's probably a pretty interesting guy. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that.
Yeah, you know. I'll let Gene answer that question. I'll say yes.
Give us some insight,
Gene. Oh, does he like to talk, Patrick?
Well, he's probably excited. He's passionate. I can tell he's passionate about this this technology because, I mean, the products look top-notch. So, you know, proof's in the pudding, right?
Yeah.
So, okay, so let's talk about the drone applications. I just come from Best Buy, and I got in the car and drive down the road about 3 miles. I'm a drone expert, and I need some lighting. Let's talk about your lighting for drones. What do we got?
Yeah, so, you know, and this is the general topic too, Patrick. You know, one of the things that, you know, before I answer that question, I think the hardest thing is when you say lighting for drones, I think people really don't necessarily know what's possible. And I think that's kind of the educational gap that I see. So, you know, the FAA will, you know, and CAA and so forth, you know, they'll say for night flight, you just need a light that can, you know, be seen from 3 statute miles or whatever the equivalent thing is. So we've got lights that will meet, you know, the anti-collision, you know, night flight requirements for different areas. So we have small format lights that will easily fit that, but there's a lot of work, and I swear, like, every year that I've done this, there's, like, a new hot topic in drones. It used to be bridge inspection, and then it was, like, indoor tactical, and then it was reconstruction. And so there's always, like, a new hot topic. And, you know, the cameras are getting so good that the ability for that light, separate of just blinking, to amplify what the camera sees, even though the cameras are getting much better in low light, is a big deal. So we have some lights that will be, like, the D10 and D3060. Those work really great inside of like 50 feet in terms of amplifying what the camera can see. We have other lights like the Rugo that, you know, can go maybe 100 feet, you know, maybe probably closer to like 75 and amplify what the camera sees. So if that's an interior SWAT application where they're trying to find out who's inside or if they're, you know, doing anything like a search and rescue, you know, that definitely helps find out what that is and give any like actionable intel. And then we've made the larger light, the D100 that we had fun with with Gene out in January for like the Autel Evo 2, and then that is, you know, that's more of your traditional searchlight. The challenge for us is we've always tried to do it by the book. We've always tried to work directly with the drone manufacturers. It's, you know, drones, there's so much of it is liability, and so much of it is just making sure that there isn't a catastrophic small or large error that, you know, grounds the UAS or the program, you know, in the event of a big mistake. So everything from there, like I just mentioned, everything from like a Mavic Mini style all the way to larger ones, and then we do have some IR lighting applications or models as well.
I'm on the website. I noticed that, you know. I'm like, you know, I was thinking there was going to be a couple of, you know, let's say products, but you actually have a boatload of products, and some of them are, let's say, system specific. And I did also notice you got the IR light we got going here. You got spotlights. You got there's actually a lot of choices and whatnot. I'm pretty surprised. And the quick swap power pack, I like that. That somebody was using the noodle there, because that's another one. You know, the light, you have it all charged up and you're dead, man. You got a light that's no charge, dead in the water. What am I going to do with this? So what's this like with this quick swap? Is it actually quick swap, or is that marketing rhetoric?
No, it's quick swap, and you know what kind of got us into drones initially in that 2016 time range is we had made a really just a very simple DSLR camera light, and then it was just kind of that obvious thing of, you know, a drone is a flying camera. This is kind of like obvious, right? So it was obvious that that would be a, at least to me, that that would be a future use case for it. So it was made, you know, for a photographer to be able to quickly change a battery out. I mean, I think it can be done pretty quickly. I'd say you take one out and replace it in 15 seconds. I would say that's very feasible. But then, you know, at that time, you know, Unique was coming up with that H520, 3DR had the Solo, and people were like, huh, we know this is coming. Can you do this? And so that's when we started learning about center of gravity and all that kind of fun stuff. But yeah, the Rugo works well.
And Gene, have you had any of this stuff strapped on the drone or what?
No, actually, we did get to play with it when we were in Dublin with the gym. I thought that was pretty cool. Antonio, you need to tell them about what we did there.
Oh man, that was a happy accident. You know, again, you know, Gene. I mean, that was so unexpected. So my friend Eddie Weiss has this museum out in Dublin, Texas, and it's amazing. He's got some incredible stuff in there. And after Gene talked and Mark talked about his program, we kind of did a educational kind of thing for the community. We had a night, you know, an outdoor night kind of exercise planned, and, you know, just our luck, it rained. And so we went into a gym, and I had never had a chance to use the Locate. Heard wonderful things about it. I have a friend, Monica England, that introduced me to Gene. She said something about it. Mark Langley had told me about Locate. And so I was like, this is interesting stuff. So we decided to test out not only the Locate software, but also the D100 Spotlight in an empty basketball gymnasium. And that was, you know, not to do a massive plug for Locate here, but it's one thing to hear about something and hear that it can work. And, you know, Patrick, you know, prior to this, you were talking about the marketing, right? And some stuff to be not ready for prime time, or it's just all marketing. Just to shut the lights off in a gym that was as yellow and green as it got, that was a school colors with super reflective surfaces, and we put a couple things down. We put a penny, we put a, I think, a red, you know, remove before flight little, like, keychain thing down, and we put one of my yellow business cards down, and I'll be damned, you know, Gene found all three pretty quickly with the software and the light, but, you know, Gene was able to show that technology worked every bit as well as was advertised.
To be honest with you, I was very skeptical. I said, you know, the color is going to be wrong, the light temperature is different, and it's too dark, and it ain't happening.
Yeah.
And I was just as surprised as everybody else, trust me.
And that's the part. That's how you know it's legit, right? When it works with, like, just, you know, you don't think it's going to work, and then you're like, huh, look at that.
And I don't know why. What's up with all this cynicism, Gene?
Well, I mean, you know, I don't know what I don't know.
And Patrick, like, that floor was so shiny that when he's like, let's look for yellow, it was like, I've never seen so many circles pop up on a screen before. It was amazing.
Yeah, well, you know, it's just like you said. I mean, that's one of the things, you know, I've heard some claims, you know, in my day at the drone biz. Farm drones, and, you know, I mean, I'm like, I don't even know what any of it means, you know. I get swept up, and it was the same deal with the flying taxi deal. I went to the one thing, and a kid from Uber, 46 cents a mile, and man, I was like, wow,
yeah,
anything's possible, until about lunchtime the next day, and I was like, that guy's full of crap. Yeah. So every once in a while, I fall for it too. But, you know, we've heard a few of these claims, but the proof is definitely in the pudding on that deal. And I know, again, you know, you get out in the real world, you do a demo, and, you know, the masks come off, you know. You it's either that the dog hunts or it doesn't hunt. Right, Gene?
That's absolutely right. Where the rubber meets the road is where it's all going to be proven.
Exactly, and there's no, very few magic tricks one can do to cover it up. So that's interesting. And you know, you do have, I'm noticing, you know, you get stuff for the parrots and DJI and Autel and whatever else. So do you kind of partner with the drone companies? Are they, hey, yeah, this sounds good, or, eh, do whatever you want? You know, how does that work? I'm just curious, business perspective.
Yeah, no. I mean, we have a philosophy. We have a drone roadmap of where we kind of see the industry going in terms of capabilities and things like that. And, you know, over the years, we've had a lot of conversations with some of the manufacturers. You know, I mean, I'm not saying anything that's, like, crazy here, but some of the manufacturers are easier to work with than others. And you know, it's that thing of, in the drone world, you know, I'll sit there sometimes and I'll watch, like, where do you do this, and where do you put this, and how does this impact this sensor, and what about the center of gravity? And so our take on it is really simple. We try to do self-powered items, and everybody wants integrated, but if anything were to ever, you know, happen on the light side, it could ground the whole drone. So from a liability point of view, we try to keep it independently powered. But yeah, with that Exolander, like for Autel, for example, like that was a system that we looked at. We knew there needed it. We've been working on a drone spotlight, candidly, since 2016, and it was always a mounting issue, And, you know, a lot of the other, you know, competition to DJI just didn't really necessarily have that figured out. You know, they were so far, and maybe in some cases are still so far ahead of the curve with some of that R&D that, you know, we approach those companies, and then we just kind of find out what's possible. And it's an exciting time because, like you guys said, you know, the proof is in the pudding. Like, we can fly that light and we know that it'll do what we're claiming it'll do. We're always very conservative with this, you know, any claims or any numbers that we give. So yeah, it can be a long process, you know, as you can imagine. But in the end, we feel like if we work with the manufacturers direct and they're satisfied with, you know, their performance, and, you know, their dealers are satisfied as well, you know, that would then, and then we do give it to select people that I know will be brutally honest with feedback and beat the crap out of it and tell me, you know, how it goes, not just what we want to hear. So it's a fun process, but it takes some time for sure.
Well, yeah, and you did allude to some of the limitations, and I agree with you. I'd stay totally independent too. You don't. You could get into a can of worms there, and with the quick, the power system, you know, quick change out or whatever, I think that's a good thing. But yeah, you know, leave their software to them, and we're doing our thing, and this works together.
Yep.
But I think that's a prudent way to think about these things. Lighting is important depending upon what you're doing and when you're doing it, things like that. I do like, you know, like that's one thing you should give the website so people, we should have done that even earlier so people could be looking at this as we were speaking about it. So could you do that there?
Yeah, definitely. So the company is Fox Fury Lighting Solutions. The website is Fox Fury. It's FOX, like the animal, and then FURY. There's no spaces or anything like that. It's foxfury.com, and we do quite a bit. We do quite a bit of specialty stuff in public safety and beyond. I mean, good grief, some of these applications for drones in the public works, in the disaster response, in the construction, maintenance, et cetera, fields are just as amazing as public safety.
This is true. And, you know, that was another, even when the 107 first came out and the night waiver thing and all the rest of that, you know, I remember, you know, the Hollywood people were like, hey, most of a lot of our work happens at night. And then the first responder people were like, yes, a lot of stuff happens at night. And Gene was like, yes, people are lost at night and, you know, on and on.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's like you have the capability or the applications because a lot of stuff does happen at night. You know, and I put a memo out there. I'm like, hey, can't we just do everything during the day? You know, I mean, can't we just have emergencies during, you know, the hours? How about, right after lunch? That way we can all go to lunch, come back, and then we can work on the disaster and, work together. It'll be great. Call me. But, so the lighting thing is definitely needed for so many different industries. Even during the day, if you're doing stuff inside or, you know, under bridges or,
mm-hmm.
you know, looking at, flying inside tanks, there's so many applications. That's another one that always cracks me up. Oh, God, guess what? You can use drones to, you know, do tank inspections. No. Gene, you never heard any of these new uses.
No, not a one. But I tell you, though, I think Patrick kind of hit on something there, Antonio. And if you want to, I'll let you go ahead. And I want you to name a light, a Bravo Alpha Foxtrot light. You know, that'll be the next marketing push for you is the Bravo Alpha Fox light.
Noted.
There you go.
You want me to talk about new stuff? Gene, I'm sorry, I didn't pick up what you were saying there. Or do you want me just to call it that?
You can call it that. But, yeah, if you got any new stuff, what you got in the hopper?
Tech moves so fast, you guys. And in the drone world, one of the craziest things about working with manufacturers is they're turning platforms around, really fast. So definitely working with a few of the other manufacturers still under NDA, so I can't talk about that. But definitely working with some more of those folks. We're looking at also adding more capability. I also work for TaxWan, which is another company. It's the accessories side of things. So for like the Autel launch, for example, the Exolander, the payload system, that's an Autel product. So we're definitely working on adding more capabilities to that kind of shell. And as far as like on the scene lighting side, we're always working on how to improve not only the performance of the product itself, but also the quality of the lighting. So not getting too far ahead of ourselves, but definitely working on improving that. Documentation is becoming so important. It's insanely important. And then actionable intel. So, our whole thing is we're trying to build a suite of products that basically cut down on the time and make the job faster. Because, Patrick, what you said, I mean, I hear it. I hear it at drone conferences. You know, I hear it on one-on-one conversations. It's like, there's a really terrible car crash. Well, we'll just map it the next day. And it's like, okay, you can, but, a lot of the stuff will be gone, by then. And I just think night ops and dark, areas, that's like the next frontier. It's like the Mars, if you will. I think people understand it. They know it's heading in that direction, but there's a lot of night uses that people don't understand. like we say, like drone lights. It's like, okay, cool, I can just fly at night. Well, and do what and how does it integrate with all the other equipment? It's a really cool time.
It is, and we ran out of time, so the show is no longer live. It's still being recorded, but I think it's a, I think you hit on some points. It was good conversation, talking a lot about the night. It's, you know, a lot, a big part of our day. But so anyway, Antonio, I'd like to say thank you for being on, and you know, I hope to run into you in the future.
My absolute pleasure, and absolutely, I will. Are you in NorCal, Patrick?
I am. I'm in Sacramento.
Okay. Yeah, I will definitely look to run into you in the future for sure. And, Gene, I'm supposed to go to Texas next month as well, so I'll let you know where I end up and what that looks like, and there might even be some locate stuff too, so I'll keep you in the loop.
Outstanding. Well, we'll keep the gate open for you.
I love it.
All right. Well, till
gentlemen,
next time,
such
everyone.
A pleasure.
It was a good conversation. All right. Well, everyone have a good one, and we'll see you next time.
Awesome. Thanks, Patrick. Thanks, Gene. All right. Take care. Bye.